From thezebrablog.com, welcome to Before and After, the Furniture Refinishing Podcast. I'm Lane Ball.
Not only do we like the business part of it and the actual physical prepping and painting, but I think we also like the history of the pieces and to imagine, especially a dining room piece, wow, how many conversations have they heard, how many dinner parties, you know, and maybe it's not even true, but in my mind, I like to think it is, so.
I definitely think that we all have that moment when it's done where we have just extreme satisfaction in seeing something that somebody else didn't want or didn't see the beauty in, and being able to take that and just give it a new life and give it a new home that someone else is just going to love it and cherish it. I mean, that's my favorite part.
Today on the Zebra Blog's Furniture Refinishing Podcast, we're talking with the artist of the winning pieces of the Zebra Diaries June 2019 Exposed Wood Theme Contest. We're so grateful to all the participants. All the entries were great, which makes choosing three winners very difficult. Continued thank you to all six members of the Furniture Diaries who we partnered with to host this monthly contest. We also want to thank Country Chic Paint for partnering with us for the June giveaways. We're excited that you get to hear from our winners today. All three winning pieces will be displayed on the zebrablog.com's podcast page and the new Zebra Diaries page, which is also on our zebrablog.com. There you can see the judges and enjoy the gallery of winners for each month. Boy, time flies. Hard to believe it's already early July. That means we just left June, which also means that we have two of the winners for our June contest theme of Exposed Wood on today. We're excited to have Nicole with 3rd and 5th Furniture Company and Mayor with 100,000 welcomes. Unfortunately, Anna with Raven Street Market could not make it on our podcast today, but I will be sharing the details of her piece in the podcast as well. Congratulations to all three of you and welcome to our podcast, Nicole and Mayor.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Lane. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Mayor.
Well, now, are you two back to work refinishing this week after the holidays?
I am. I'm working on a custom piece. I tend to do a lot of, because I live on the coast, beach house work. So I'm doing another piece, a dresser for a beach house. So.
Oh, wow.
It's exciting.
What about you, Nicole?
Nope, I have not. I found out I had won the day that we were leaving to go on vacation, a small camping trip where we have absolutely no service. And so it was great to kind of disconnect. And since I've been back, I have not gotten back to work. So
that's right. Well, good. Good for you. It's summertime. It's good to do that. Well, it's always fun to share where our winners are located. Let's start with you, Nicole. What state are you from?
I am in Utah, born and raised. So we live in a little tiny town right smack in the middle of Utah, and we love it here.
Great. What about you, Mayor?
I'm also born and raised in Stratford, Connecticut, though. It's in the southwestern part of the state, maybe about an hour north of New York City, actually, depending on the traffic, and anyone who does that knows it could be a lot longer. But yeah, so little Connecticut.
Well, let's see. So you have some fun options to go to New York City and other places in the area. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Anna, I believe, is Anna with Raven Street Market, is in Minnesota. Well, I know everyone is eager to learn more about your winning pieces, so let's dive in. We'll start with our third place winner, Nicole. Really nice job, Nicole, on refinishing the antique buffet. Tell us about it.
Thank you. I love buffets. They are probably my favorite piece of furniture to redo. But with that being said, they are the hardest. I run into the most problems with them, particularly bleed through. And so anytime I take on a buffet, I know in the end I'll be really happy with it and just love it. But during the process, sometimes it's not the most fun because, like I said, they are my hardest pieces I usually do. They have the most problems. They need the most work. But I think that when they're done, they're definitely worth it.
Why do you think they are so hard? Is it because of usually, I guess, most buffets are used in the dining room area, get a lot of use? Do you think that's why?
Yeah, I think the way that they're made, they're definitely built to last, but they definitely take a beating, especially people that are using them and enjoying them, like you said, in the dining room where the family's using it. I mean, that's mainly what their purpose was. And I think also a lot of it has to do with the time frame it was made in and the dyes and the stains. So Of course, I've always had bleed through with every buffet that I've ever done. And so the time frame, I think, has a lot to do with it because of the products that they used during that time. And so, yeah, but they definitely are my favorite type to refinish, but they're not for the faint of heart.
Exactly.
Now, was this a commission piece?
No, it was not. I found it through, we here in Utah, we have, it's called KSL Classifieds, and it's like the Craigslist of Utah. It's really user-friendly. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite places to go to buy furniture, just an online classifieds, and to find it. So they're getting harder to find the buffets. And so I actually found it within 10 minutes of my house, which is usually I drive up to an hour to find these kind of pieces. But I found it through that classified system 10 minutes from my house. So, of course, I told good hubby, let's get in the truck. Let's go look. And thankfully it was close and it was a great price. So not a commission, but anytime I see a buffet for sale close within a great price range, I try and scoop them up.
So is this piece still for sale?
It is actually for sale. And the thing with buffets, I love them, but in my area, I know that I'll have to list them for just a little bit longer to get them to sell because they are so much work and they're harder to find. I price them just a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to put in the work and also to kind of sit and wait for the right buyer to come along.
Now, do you ship your products? Is shipping available?
No, I'm local. I do offer delivery options, but I have not tested the waters of shipping yet. I may have to look up Natalie from A Ray of Sunlight, her shipping information. I know she's got a tutorial that I've been meaning to purchase and look into.
Yeah, she does. You know, we interviewed her on the podcast several episodes back, and that was one of the highlights of the podcast was talking to her about shipping pieces, you know, across the country. I know that's intimidating for a lot of folks, but it certainly broadens your customer base. So, you know, it just really depends upon if you're able to sell the pieces locally. You know, if not, if you want to broaden that base, then that's certainly a way to go. And her tutorial is very good. So I know you'll benefit from that greatly. You mentioned on the buffets that they do take longer. How long did it take you to complete this particular piece?
I would say that it took me probably a week and a half. And I usually take about a week per piece of furniture. It just takes me a long time. I like to take my time. I like to make sure that everything structurally is fixed. And I mean, the furniture that I come across usually are pretty worn and do need a lot of love. And probably those are my favorite pieces. Just, I love transforming pieces that are destined for the dump or, you know, the garbage and seeing them transformed into something beautiful. Usually they take me a long time. This one took me about a week and a half. It had quite a bit of veneer damage, and that's normal too for pieces this old. Yeah, I'm probably 20-30 hours into this buffet. So definitely time spent on it.
Well, it sounds like you enjoy it, though. I mean, I know it's a lot of work, but to be able to put that kind of detail into it at a pace that you enjoy and that you're comfortable with, then that sounds good. Now, it's really pretty. I think that, you know, when you look at a piece like this, and you look at the drawers, the top, the ornate back, and the legs, you know, there's always that aspect of, you know, on the front end, what do I do with it, you know? And do I leave a portion exposed wood? Do I, you know, and what portion do I leave exposed? How did you arrive at the decisions that you made for this? I mean, the result is obviously beautiful, but how did you make that decision? Is that something you knew, like when you see it, you formulate it in your head? Do you do any sketching? Tell us about that process.
So I didn't know in the beginning that I wanted to leave the drawer exposed. So usually it's not until I get into the piece. Like I said, there was a lot of veneer damage on this. So sometimes it takes me getting to the point where I clean up and fix anything like that to decide my direction that I'm going to take. But usually I have to do that first to decide, because that usually helps me decide, well, can I leave this exposed? Do I need to paint that? Do I need to fill this? The whole top was warped, and so the veneer need to be peeled off. And then looking at both the cabinet doors, there was chipping veneer And so that the entire cupboard doors needed to be chipped, the veneer needed to be chipped off, and then the drawers itself. So I actually pulled all the veneer off the top, the three drawers, and the two cupboards. Usually with pieces this old, it's a veneer on top of a solid wood. So usually I can pull the veneer off and sand down and have solid wood. And it ended up happening that that big top drawer was in really great shape after I took the veneer off and then sanding down, and it just was like in perfect shape, that top drawer. So that is when I decided to just, you know, that wood is beautiful. I need to showcase it. So I ended up sanding down, replacing the molding, and then restaining it.
Great choice.
Thank you. I can't decide what I'm going to do until I figure out what to do with the veneer. Really
can be
worst.
Tricky. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you probably go through the same process, Mayor.
Definitely. You have to get in there and get a good look at it, get a feel for the piece, so to speak. So, yeah.
Well, Nicole, what about the hardware? Is the hardware that we see on there, is that what came with it, or did you put new hardware on?
No, I love to keep the hardware, but with pieces this old, usually something is broken and missing. There was one handle missing on this, of course, my luck would have it. And I thought about keeping the hardware, some old, some new, but I usually like to, when I'm done, I just try a lot of different hardware and see how it looks. And it just, the mix match didn't look good. So I decided to just scratch the old and start from new. And I think the new looks great with it. So I decided to go with the new.
Yeah, well, you did. You made a good choice on that. If you would, share with us what color and brand of paint you used on this piece.
Yes, it is Queenstown Gray, and it's by General Finishes Milk Paint. I love their products. Their paint products are phenomenal. It really just goes on really smooth, and it really a high quality paint. And so I do love to use the General Finishes on most of my pieces. Before I added that, I did shellac my piece. I knew I wanted the wood grain showing, and so I just used some brushing shellac to seal all the bleed through. And so I did that on the piece before the Queenstown Gray was added. But like I said, I love their products. They have really great high quality products that make my life a little easier. Because I'm not a perfect painter. I think they knew that when they developed this product, because it really has a lot of self-leveling properties and is great for people like me who are not sometimes good at what they do.
Well, really nice job, Nicole. And I really hope listeners will go out and take a look at this piece so that they can see it and understand it better, especially the amount of work that you put into it. If you would share with our listeners your Instagram account so folks can follow you.
It is at Third and Fifth Furniture Co. And the same, you could also find me on Facebook.
Our second place winning piece is by Anna with Raven Street Market. Anna was not able to join us today for the podcast, but she did provide us information about her winning piece. She found the winning dresser on Facebook Marketplace, which she says has brought her many great pieces, even too many, if truth be told. The dresser was in terrible shape when she picked it up. It took a lot of sanding, including the drawer sides. She used an orbital sander with 150 grit, then transitioned to 220 grit for a nice soft feeling. She used Minwax for staining, and it did not go according to plan. She envisioned this dresser as a medium gray wash with the grain showing through, and selected classic gray from the Minwax line and applied, wiped, and then she had a good cry, she says. It was not at all what she had envisioned. It did not look gray, but more of a periwinkle peach tone, and in her mind, not a good look. Then she contemplated sanding it down and starting over, but thought perhaps if the look was a little more saturated with a second coat, it would help. Yet she feared a deeper periwinkle look with the classic gray, and so she switched it up and did the second coat with Minwax Ebony, thinking the ebony would cancel out that horrible peachy purple. Anna still added just a smidge of classic gray because she said it felt right. Cautiously, she applied it to the first drawer, wiped it back, and got so excited. She knew it looked beautiful. A beautiful brownish gray, giving it a farmhouse touch. She sealed it using Homestead House Stain and finishing oil and natural to seal the beautiful wood. This is Anna's absolute favorite wood sealer because it is so easy to apply. Simply brush it on, let it soak in, then wipe it back, and it doesn't get sticky like most oil-based products. It almost reminds her of wiping with olive oil. She emphasized how smooth and easy it is to work with, giving it a beautiful finish. Anna knew the piece was begging for contrast, so she chose new white hardware and fun decorative drawer liners. Well done, Anna. It is definitely a winning piece. Well, before we move on, I want to take a few moments to share something personal about Anna. Anna and her husband have a beautiful 7-year-old daughter named Mila. Mila is fighting a rare disease. Mila was completely healthy and normal when she was born. At the age of 2, her health rapidly declined when they discovered she has what is called Pearson syndrome. It's a type of mitochondrial disease. Most children with Pearson syndrome will not live beyond their childhood or early teen years. It causes multiple organ failure, and for her, that is her kidneys, pancreas, hearing, sight, bone marrow, and heart. Mila has been invited to Israel for the first ever treatment available for kids like her and one of only 7 families selected worldwide. This treatment process will take 2 months, and they hope that those 2 months will, in exchange, give them more years with Mila. Zebra Painting and its team members are actively supporting Mila's GoFundMe campaign, and we encourage you to consider to participate as you are able. If you're interested in learning more about Mila and helping her get to Israel for this treatment, go to Anna's Instagram account at Raven Street Market. That's at Raven Street Market, and click on the link in her profile. You all are a kind and caring community, and we know many of you will be eager to come alongside Anna and her family. Thank you for allowing us to take a few minutes of your time to share. Well, our first place winning piece is by Mayor with 100,000 welcomes. Congratulations, Mayor. Your piece is a china cabinet, and I understand you sanded it down, and once you saw the beautiful wood grain, you just couldn't cover it up. So tell us about it.
Thank you. Thank you, Lane, and congrats to everyone. That is absolutely right. I received this piece. I had done some work for newlyweds and also new homeowners. That the previous homeowner called them right before the closing and said, you know, I'm either going to get rid of this furniture or leave it for you. And they were smart enough to keep it. So I had done some work for them. But this piece, they did not seem to have a space for. So they asked me if I wanted it. And I said, of course I did. So I took it. And it was one of those things where maybe other refinishers do this too. It was the first one in. And at first glance, it didn't need much work. So I had something else going and went right over to that as well. I do store my pieces. Let's say I have a stash, but kind of this was the new guy on the block. So I went with it. But this piece was really lovely. And I think I always joke because I think they wanted to get in their garage. So they were trying to get rid of their furniture. So lucky me. But this was a beautiful, well cared for piece. It really didn't need many repairs at all. I think I fixed a hinge and possibly there was some old glue on a leg, which of course with this finish, I kind of sanded off anyway. But once I started, I did not know what I was going to do. I kept looking at it. It had kind of what I'd call a thirsty look. It was a little dry. And I thought, well, let me just do a little prep sand. At that point, I hadn't even removed the hardware. And all of a sudden, with just a little, maybe 220 grit, the finish was coming off to reveal such a beautiful wood grain. And for me, this piece was kind of unique because the drawer, the lower part of the cabinet and the doors were pine, as well as the backing and some trim up top. The sides and the trim around the door and the drawer were cherry with the beautiful wood grain. It had originally been, I don't know if it was like a tinted varnish or a stain of dark kind of orangey look that made it look like you couldn't really tell it was different woods until that finish came off. So honestly, with the hand sand, most of it came off. And then with the power sand, the orbital sander, not probably mostly 220 grit. The whole finish was easily removed. And then at that point, you're absolutely right. When I saw the grain and the look of it, that unique look, I thought, I really don't want to paint this. So with a little sore hand, but it was worth it.
I was actually going to ask if it was original orange.
It absolutely was original. Yeah.
That's what I pictured them as.
Absolutely. I think that I would date this about maybe in the 1940s. You know, it did have a maker's mark, which showed that the company was actually bought by Drexel in the 50s. So I knew it was earlier than the 50s, say, or 50s or earlier, if you can picture that kind of finishes they used back then.
Well, how interesting. It's sort of like finding treasure, isn't it? I mean, to be stripping off that paint with, you said, just sanding it down, and to see cherry and pine mixed in like that. That was one of the first questions I was going to ask as well, is how did you get this look? Because it looked like different wood on the drawers and so on, on the cabinet portion. So that's, man, what an excellent job you did on that. So this was given to you. Do you still have it, or have you sold it?
No, it actually sold the next week. I had a repeat.
Did it really?
Yeah, a repeat customer that saw a sneak peek that I posted and was waiting. She said, I was waiting for you to post the whole look. And then she came to see it the next week and, you know, decided she absolutely wanted it. So I was thrilled where it went. So, yeah. And I actually, though, I called the kids that gave it to me, and I was like, look, guys, do you want this back? Because look at it, look how it turned out. And they kind of hemmed and hawed and said, oh, we're going to pass. I said, okay.
Yeah.
So
just no more space, right?
Exactly. So that happens. I think that happens to all of us. We always think, oh, where am I going to put it? I love it. But I think I do that with every piece. But anyway, so I gave them the chance, but I was thrilled that it sold so quickly.
That must be hard for both of you, because you do put so much work into it, and it, you know, and you probably, as you're working on it, really become attached to it in many respects. It must be hard. I mean, I know this is, you know, a business, so you're getting in pieces, refinishing them and selling them, but my goodness, that's got to be hard at times to let some of these things go.
You're absolutely right. Getting attached is the right way to phrase it. I think you feel like you get to know it. And I think a part of us, I just had this conversation, that the refinishers are kind of all old souls. And not only do we like the business part of it and the actual physical prepping and painting, but I think we all also like the history of the pieces, and to imagine, especially a dining room piece, wow, how many conversations have they heard, how many dinner parties, you know, and maybe it's not even true, but in my mind, I like to think it is. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I definitely think that we all have that moment when it's done where we have just extreme satisfaction in seeing something that somebody else didn't want or didn't see the beauty in, and being able to take that and just give it a new life and give it a new home that someone else is just going to love it and cherish it. I mean, that's my favorite part. I mean, that's I'm sure why we all do what we do, is because we just love seeing something worn out, transformed, and given new life. So,
so true.
Definitely.
Well said.
Hard to let go of stuff sometimes. But the best part about our job is we get first dibs, right?
Exactly.
We always get first dibs.
and you know, Mary, you were talking about just the piece and the, you know, the generations before that enjoyed it, and the conversations, and, you know, just, and think about the generations yet to come, you know, that get to enjoy the piece that you guys have worked on and produced.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it will definitely be around another lifetime for sure. So thrilled about that.
Yeah, I have to ask you a couple more questions about this piece. You said it was more of an orangey varnish type cover on the outside. What about the inside? Was it also the same?
Yeah, the inside also had that same finish. So I did take the backing off, which is key. And oh, another good thing about this piece for a refinisher is it's in two pieces. So it was a lot easier to get to every piece, you know, sand completely the top clean. The backing came off and was sanded down, and the shelves also, because they also had that dark orange, kind of just sanded them right off and they were cleaned up. I used the Daddy Vans beautiful scented wax on the shelves and the backing, and it kind of brought, it's kind of like a furniture salve almost, and it brings it right back. It looked amazing, I do have to say. So, and on the outside, I used a matte poly on the top of the buffet part to just give it a little extra protection. And then anywhere I thought would get a little more use, like where it would open and close, and the trim of the top cabinet. Other than that, it was all, I used a clear wax and a white wax, and I put a little tiny bit of black wax. I don't know if you look at the doors in the corners, you can see, I just wanted it to have that beautifully naturally aged look. So I was very happy with how that came out.
And the hardware, is the hardware original?
Oh, it is original. Yes, it was actually really solid, heavy, chunky. And another thing I loved about this piece is it had a working lock and key. And that's actually how you open the top cabinet. So to me, that adds so much charm. And I love to see that because so many times, you know, you have a lock, you don't have the key. What do you do next? So you kind of have to fake it maybe. So, but to get a working key to me is something unique. It doesn't happen often. So
absolutely. Well, it beautiful, beautiful job on that China hutch for sure. Share with our listeners your Instagram account, Mir.
Oh, sure. It's at the number 100, so 100,000 welcomes. I'm also on Facebook, so you can find me there. Thank you.
Well, what an incredible and talented community of refinishers. All three of the winners have inspired us greatly, and we appreciate you two taking the time to share in detail about your pieces, and as well for Anna giving us information about her piece. And we hope you all have a great day today.
Thank you, Lane. We're definitely thinking of Anna, and thank you to Zebra Paint and also Country Chic and the girls at the Zebra Diaries. So thank you all.
Yes, thank you. We, as I think as artists, we just really appreciate sponsorships like you guys and just being able to put our work out there for everyone to see and just really making us feel loved and appreciated. So yes, we appreciate Zebra and Country Chic and all the judges so much.
Thank you.
Well, we love being a part of this great community. You guys take care.
Thank you, Lane.
Thank you, Lane.
Listening friends, don't forget July's 2019 theme is Chippy Goodness. Show us your furniture with chips, crackling, and distressing. Our prize sponsors this month, along with our Zebra paintbrushes, is Shacto Interiors Milk Paint and D. Lawless Hardware. We look forward to seeing each of your entries. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com, along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's thezebrawithani.com. Thanks for listening and happy refinishing.